Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We are with Buffalo Teachers Federation President Phil Rumore. Phil, earlier this morning, current board member Larry Quinn came on our radio station to talk about the school calendar that passed last night. Before we get into his comments, though, I want to get your opinions on this school calendar. Seems to really favor what the Buffalo Teachers Federation had pushed out, but I want to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, our contract calls for 42 weeks. The district came to us then with a 44-week calendar. In other words, teachers have to work 44 weeks instead of 42. In March, we came back with a 43-week calendar as a compromise. And ever since then, we've been, the district is saying, no, 44, 44, 44, 44. We have agreed to a 43-week calendar many years. That's our compromise, how we have always worked together to do it. This year, the district, instead of agreeing to a 43-week calendar, and actually the teachers are working an extra week then, and have their pay spread out over an extra week, said, no, we want a 44-week one. They did a bogus survey of the people, and it said the only choices they had, the public had, was either the 44-week one or the 42-week one. But the bottom line is this. We proposed a 43-week calendar, which was a compromise between their 44 and the 42-week one. So the teachers are going to have this pay spread out over an extra week. It was submitted in March. It's the same type of calendar that we've had for many years when we've had to do this. And yet the district somehow felt that they would wanted their 44-week one. Now, ultimately, last Thursday, the district said, well, let's do a 43-week one like you want. What they did then is in their calendar, they took away the teacher setup day, where the teachers now, what we negotiated, just negotiated it last year, the teachers have a day without kids to set up their class. They took that out and cut it into a half day. Teachers had a vote on that, and the vote was overwhelming on their 43-week calendar. The vote on the district 43-week calendar was 40 schools did not support it, 14 schools supported it. And the number of teachers, but we didn't have the numbers from all the schools, number of teachers, 1,068 teachers did not support it, 583 teachers did. So the bottom line is that this is what the teachers wanted overwhelmingly. It wasn't even close.
What's your response then to the criticism that's been coming from this? Quinn said this morning that there's a concern about student and teacher absenteeism, and the big reason for that is because the first day of school is on a Friday.
Well, that's actually a good thing. If you ask a teacher, what that does is that's the first day that you have the students in school is the day that you are organizing them, telling them where they're going to sit. These are what the rules are. So you have that day to just set up everything, students know what's going on, and then they start fresh on Monday. That is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Otherwise, you just have teachers doing it on a Thursday, and then they come in on a Friday, then there's a break.
But it's also not uncommon for, say, Columbus Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend. There's going to be teachers. It's frowned upon, but they take the extra day so that they can have, say, an extra weekend. They have a four-day weekend in some cases. Here we're at the summer break, and I know they're at school for professional development. They have the setup day that Thursday, but then on Friday they could be like, I just want a long weekend before the start of the school year, and even longer weekend.
No, first of all, the teachers wouldn't do that. Teachers would not do that because they've just set up their class and they're ready for the kids to come in. And to say that the kids aren't going to come in on a Friday is an absolute insult to the parents of this city to say that they are going to keep their kids home instead of sending them to school. And anybody that would say that owes every parent in this city an apology, because that is absolutely degrading and untrue.
What if the students just don't want to show up to school on a Friday? You know, if the students just don't want to show up to school, you know, the first day is on a Friday, you know, a lot of kids, they're independent. They can make their own choices. In some cases, you know, the idea of having the first day on a Friday, do you think the kids would then, you know, will themselves into going to school even if they don't want to?
No, I got news for you because I know with my mother, I was brought up by my mom. There would be no way that I wasn't going to go to school, whether it's for one day, 2 days. And there are times when students come in for a day because there is exams going on, et cetera. But to say that that's going to happen is, first of all, it's wrong. And it's an absolute insult to not only the parents, but to the students to say that they don't care enough about their education. And, you know, saying whoever would say something like that owes the parents and the students an apology.
I want to get your reaction to Mr. Quinn's comments that he said that the Buffalo Teachers Federation essentially has had a stranglehold on the school board during this negotiation process for the school calendar. And he kind of talks in terms of the power struggle between the board and the Teachers Federation. He says you guys had a lot of power in this and that you were essentially flexing your muscles throughout this. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, we did not make it a power struggle. We submitted a calendar like we had done for many years in the past, a 43-week calendar. The district is the one that decided to make this an issue, not us. And what prevailed was what has prevailed as common ground between the 42-week and the 44-week calendar. So, I mean, to say something like that, the person just obviously doesn't realize that they're the ones that made this a power struggle. Because we have never had this issue in the past.
The quote that he said, just to give it a little bit more context, if you want to clarify it all, he said he called it a power play by the Buffalo Teachers Federation, and quote, "That's been the movie I've been watching for 5 years," referencing his time, of course, on the school board.
Well, you know, obviously he's been watching the wrong channel. We have had disagreements in the past, but we have mostly had agreements in the past. When it came to negotiations, the contract that was negotiated was recommended to the board by the superintendent and the superintendent's negotiating team. It is a contract that was a fair contract. It was one that the district could well afford. And to say something like that is just, you know, just actually it reminds me, you know, too much of what's going on nationally. People just say things that have no foundation in fact and just say things to try to sling mud or try to make somebody look bad. That's really pathetic.
Anything else you want to get out about the school calendar?
No, that's okay.
Switching over to Councilman Ulysses Wingo. He will not be able to attend his son's graduation after bringing a gun into a school last month. Your reaction to that?
We agree. First of all, if a student brought a gun into the school, they'd be suspended for a year. We have parents that have been prevented from coming into their child's graduation. We have students that have been prevented from coming to graduation for much less offenses than this. It sends a bad message that here he committed a crime by bringing a loaded weapon into school, and there aren't any real consequences. Now, they say, all right, you know, but this is hurting his son. You know, well, as I said, we have parents that are banned from going to graduation for lesser offenses, and students. They got drunk at the prom. They couldn't come to graduation. What better message to send to a child than, you know something? Son, what I did was wrong, and I have to accept the consequences. That's what my mom taught me, is that when you do something, you accept the consequences of your actions. And I think that would be a better message to send to his son than he got away with it.
An 18-month ban, though, and Councilman Wingo, he's done a lot for Buffalo Public Schools in terms of education. He represents the Education Committee on the Buffalo Common Council, and I heard reports that he's been doing a lot of outreach things in, you know, gun education, something of that regard, to try to, I guess, make reparations in this. Is there a way that you can see that he can come back onto school property before the 18 months?
When you know that students, if they brought a weapon into school, are suspended for a year, and here you have somebody that brought a loaded gun onto school property, not even just into the school, but on school property, I don't think that that's too much at all. Aside from supporting the schools, the city hasn't significantly raised the amount of money they contribute to the schools, the Common Council, in years. So if they really wanted to do something and they were really doing something to help all kids, then they should start taking a look at increasing their funding to the schools. But the bottom line is that one has to accept the consequences of their actions. My mom taught me that, and I think everybody else knows that, except apparently the council member. And you don't make exceptions. Parents are banned from education for doing lesser things. Students are banned from graduation for lesser things. Why should he be any different? He's not even being prosecuted for committing a crime. There's no special treatment. I got news for you. If anybody else out there that didn't have connections came into a school with a loaded weapon, they'd be in jail.
Dr. Cash got a one-year extension. Your thoughts?
I think that's a good thing. Dr. Cash and I have disagreements at times, as with any union president and the superintendent. But I think he's done an excellent job, and he deserves the extension. This gives us time to that, if he decides that he doesn't want to be here, to actually go out and find a successor. But I think he deserves the extension. I would hope that he'd want to stay around a little longer. We will have our battles, but you know what he usually tries to do is find a common ground. And he has a plan, and he's pushing that plan. One of the things that I think that the superintendent and I agree on, and we've been both pushing it, is the most important thing is to educate the child in the early grades. He has significantly, what we have always advocated for as well, have lower class sizes in the early grades. It is absolutely critical that we have intervention for the kids in pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, so they don't get behind in their studies, and also if there are family problems, working with the families. So I think the superintendent has done a really good job, and I look forward to working with him.
Or in some people, they would say you guys would butt heads a lot, and I know you guys might be butting heads soon because the teacher's contract is coming up. When does it officially expire? We'll start there.
The contract actually ends on June 30th. However, under the law, the current contract continues until a new one is negotiated. It's a little different than in the rest of the world. Under New York State law, our contract continues until a new one is negotiated, or hopefully nothing like that would happen until there's a strike or something, then it ends.
So do you think it gets negotiated before the start of the next school year, or are you expecting there to be another strike come like what we saw at Kleinhans a couple of years ago?
No, there's. I would hope that we would be able to come. The board has a significant amount of reserves available, and hopefully what we'll be able to do is find a common ground. I mean, let's begin the new year, the new school year, on a positive footing, and I'm hopeful that that will happen, so the teachers will have a contract in place, the district will have a contract in place, and we can move on and worry about and work together to improve the education of our kids.
In your words, what are some of the things that teachers will be seeking with a new contract?
Well, one of our highest priorities, obviously, is to lower the class sizes. We are very concerned about lowering the class sizes, getting more school counselors into the schools, more attendance teachers, more psychologists, social workers into the schools to help our kids. Obviously, we also have other issues that we're concerned about. Obviously, salary and fringe benefits. It takes teachers 27 years to reach the maximum salary in Buffalo, whereas in most other school districts, it's 15 or 20 years. So that has a big impact on it. We got to do more to raise the starting salary because we're going to have a lot of retirements. But basically, it's a balance. Everybody always focuses on the monetary part. But one of the things that we have to do is we have to get those class sizes lower. We have to have more supports for our kids, and those will be high on our agenda.
Well, with all those things you had just mentioned, lower class sizes, for example, you need to have more teachers, and more teachers would mean more money. Same with the benefits, sure. Same with the increased salaries, sure. Obviously. Does Buffalo Public Schools have enough money to make this work?
Yeah, it does. It has a significant reserves. But, one of the things that we do together each year is we work together to get as much money into the school district as we can from the legislature. So we lobby with the district to get money into the Buffalo Public Schools. Right, as it is now, the state is not doing what it should be doing for the Buffalo Public Schools or the poor school districts. They violated the law several years ago by violating the Constitution because under the Constitution, New York State is required to provide every child with a sound basic education. They were found guilty of violating the Constitution a number of years ago. They increased the funding under a formula for 2 years and then stopped it. So the Buffalo Public Schools right now is if that funding formula was still in effect, Buffalo Public Schools would have received an extra $1 billion since they stopped doing that.
Is it New York State that funds it, or is it the city of Buffalo? Because you pointed out the Common Council and what they haven't been doing earlier. I just want to get clear.
About 85% of our money comes from the state now. Obviously, more should be coming from the Common Council and the city. I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves that they haven't really raised it any way significantly. What we're working with now is hopefully what we'll get the council to agree to is a funding formula, like Rochester has. So in other words, there is a set formula put in place that everybody agrees to, that this is how much money the Board of Education will receive from the city. And that way there, the council doesn't get the mayor's budget and say, well, the only way we can give you more money is from taking it from someplace else, which gets them in a hot spot. So this way here, the money that comes from, you know, the mayor's budget is delineated by a formula. So that's how much has to come. So this way everybody knows ahead of time.
I want to bring this 15-minute interview all around and just say, generally speaking, is the Buffalo Public Schools and the negotiations, just the relationship between the Teachers Federation, the board, everything going, is it going in generally a positive direction? Is it stagnant, or do you think they're moving backwards right now?
No, I think we're moving in a positive direction right now. We had a glitch with this calendar, which really angered the teachers. Teachers were very angry, and it wasn't the board, and I don't believe it was the superintendent, but we don't know, but there was somebody at City Hall that kept pushing this issue, which really angered the teachers. They say, why are they doing this? We submitted a fair calendar in March, like we've done many years before. But we have to get past that. I look forward to working with the superintendent. I think we're on a positive trajectory, and I think the negotiations will go well, because it's important. We've got a lot of work to do. We're not anywhere near where we need to be, and we need to work together to accomplish our goals.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.